Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Moistline, we've got some vacancies, so if you want to have your say and hear it broadcast over KFI, it would be tomorrow, right? Today's Thursday, so tomorrow's Moistline Day. We still have room. 877-MOIST-86. 877-MOIST-86. This is the second day this week that somebody is messing with the digits on the board there. And they're putting up the wrong number.
Oh, no.
But I caught it this time. Is somebody trying to screw with me?
What's wrong with the number?
You have it 887. It's 877. It's got to be toll free.
It is 877.
Right. Well, it's written as 887 up there.
Oh.
Yeah. It's twice now. Somebody's out to get me. 877, Moist 86. Also, I forgot to mention this before. You should see the hour-long interview I did on my wife's video podcast, Deborah Cobell Live, it's called. And she interviewed me for an hour. And it was posted yesterday, and it's running today. And a lot of KFI listeners are looking at it. So it's Deborah Cobell Live, and you can see it on Facebook or YouTube. Hour-long interview. It's the history of the John and Ken Show, going back to the very earliest days. It's on Facebook and YouTube, Deborah Cobell Live. All right, now on to real business here. We're going to talk with Assemblyman Vince Fong. I think I gave him a promotion, made him state senator a few minutes ago. He's an assemblyman, although I believe he's running for Congress. We'll talk to him about that as well. Gavin Newsom released his new budget for the 2024-25 fiscal year. This thing had a $68 billion deficit in it, except Newsom came out yesterday and said, no, I'm declaring it a $37 billion deficit. And by the way, the size of this budget is triple what Jerry Brown was spending back in 2011. 2011, the budget was $98 billion. It is now $291 billion proposed. Let's get Vince on here. Vince, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm all right. Now, you're running for Congress this year, right?
I am running for Congress, yes.
You're
California is not California should not be the motto for the country. That's
no,
for sure.
I was going to say you're going to go from hopefully from being in the minority, a very tiny minority here in the assembly, to perhaps the majority in Washington D.C. So that must look very appealing.
Well, we got big problems. I mean, the problems are just getting larger and larger. I mean, our state's in crisis, our nation's in crisis, and that's why I'm running.
How in the hell do we go from $98 billion in 2011? And 2011 wasn't that long ago. I remember it. $98 billion to $291 billion? How does that happen? Where's the extra $200 billion going?
Unsustainable spending, and of course, you got a lot more taxes, and tax increases have gone up over that time. When I was first elected to the state legislature in 2016, the budget at that time was $167 billion, and now we're over $300 billion. And none of the problems in California have gotten better. They've actually gotten worse. And, you know, you look in the last 3 years, the governor and legislative Democrats, I mean, they added $17.3 billion in ongoing costs. You know, this is unsustainable. Your warnings and my warnings over the last 7 years have gone unheeded, and now we are in a fiscal mess.
And he comes out yesterday, and a few weeks ago, the Legislative Analyst Office had said it's a $68 billion deficit for the coming year. He came out and he said, no, it's $37 billion. Well, where did you get that number? It's just because he said so. He just made it up.
Exactly. If you look historically, the Independent Legislative Analyst Office, their projections have been more accurate. And so we have to be conservative. You know, we have to align our spending with our revenues, and the LAO has been correct. And so we should be basing our budgeting off of a $68 billion deficit. And if you actually read the Independent Legislative Analyst Office, if we don't act now, if we don't immediately begin to curtail spending and get our fiscal house in order, we're looking at budget deficits of $30 billion or more year over year for the foreseeable future. So we can't have any more gimmicks that the governor is trying. We have to act now.
Maybe we have to go down this path. It's the only way to cut the spending. I mean, we're maxed out on taxes, I would think. We got the highest tax rates in the nation.
Yeah, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem in Sacramento. And that's the frustrating thing. The governor, he's very good at making political headlines. He wants to chastise journalists. He wants to chastise the media. But it's his policies. He has to look in the mirror and look at the consequences of his policies.
We mentioned this before, that he went on a tirade yesterday against the Wall Street Journal editorial board because they were mocking all his excessive taxes. And he claimed that there was no such thing as a wealth tax, except Assemblyman Alex Lee. He had a hearing on the wealth tax just in the past week, correct?
Exactly. It was yesterday.
Yesterday,
it stalled out because the governor knows that the taxes are driving people out of California. I mean, this is, of course, one of the major reasons why we're also in this mess, is that Californians and businesses are fleeing our state in droves.
Well, the thing is, Alex Lee's bill would impose a tax on your worldwide wealth.
It's unconstitutional, and it's terrible. It's a terrible idea.
If somebody has a villa in Italy, how do you tax that legally? How does that work?
You can't. You can't. It's completely unconstitutional, and it would be the straw that breaks the camel's back in California. I mean, the volatility of revenue in California is because those of high net worth, they're leaving the state in droves. But if you look at the census data, those on the lower income spectrum, they're leaving California just as fast because they can't afford to live here. The affordability crisis in our state is real. So we have to, the only way we improve our budget situation is to cut spending, get our fiscal house in order, but we also have to grow the economy. I mean, we have to get people to stay in California. We have to get businesses created here. I mean, that's how we fix this problem in a serious way.
You've got, obviously, a supermajority in the state Senate and the Assembly with Democrats, right? It's a veto-proof majority. Newsom cannot get what he wants if they decide to override his ideas. What's the hope here? Because these are such extreme progressive socialist wackos How do we stop this? $300 billion? For what? What are we getting out of this?
Well, part of it is public shaming. I mean, we look at it, I mean, we're looking at the empirical data. Look at the evidence over the past 7 to 10 years. Our budgets have grown larger. The problems have gotten worse. The budgets are completely unsustainable, and we can't continue down this path. And so the question for Democrats is, what are you going to do? I mean, if you keep doing what you're doing, all you're doing is going to make problems worse, drive Californians and businesses out of our state. Our deficits are going to get larger. They have to look in the mirror. We have to come together and say, look, let's undo the mandates. Let's undo the costs that have been imposed over the last 3 years. Let's cut high-speed rail. Let's stop the lower taxes. Let's lower regulations. I mean, and improve the business climate. I mean, these are all common sense things. The question is going to be whether the Democrats will exercise some political will and do the courageous thing and actually be fiscally responsible.
It seems like non-Democrats are moving out by the thousands, independents, Republicans, and what's left is this hard left-wing core that elects these bozos over and over again, no matter what the condition of the state is.
Well, I think if you talk to Californians now, I mean, if you're an independent, you've turned against the progressive left. If you're a Democrat, I mean, there's more disgruntled Democrats that I've talked to over the last 4 to 6 years than I've ever seen. And of course, you know, Republicans have seen this happening. It's like a train wreck that we've watched. So the coalition that we're building to change our state is growing every single day. And we've got to build a coalition bigger than we've ever built before. I mean, you've been leading the charge on fiscal responsibility for a very long time. You and I have talked about the budget. You and I have talked about high-speed rail. How in the heck are we spending $1 billion every single year in the state budget on this mismanaged, wasteful project? I mean, that's $1 billion of savings that we could have, or $1 billion of investments we can put in our roads, in our infrastructure, in our supply chain, that wouldn't go to that project.
You know what's scary is this past year, we've been spending almost $1 billion a day on California government, which is shocking. The budget was up to $330 billion before they hit this deficit hole. $330 billion over 365 days. Can you imagine? $1 billion they spent today, what did it go for?
Exactly. That's the question we ask Democrats all the time. You cannot define success now based on how much you spent, because what has Governor Newsom and the Democrats achieved with over triple the amount of spending over the last 10 years? What has happened? Homelessness has gotten worse. Public safety has gotten worse. Our roads are worse. I mean, what has happened?
The schools are
paying more and getting less.
The public schools in the cities are horrible. And like you said, the streets are unlivable between the homeless and the drug addicts and the mental patients and the criminals and the smash and grab robberies. It's all gone to hell, and it's $1 billion a day. I mean, are they all just stealing it?
Well, they're not. They're wasting it. I mean, the governor defines success. If every single time I listen to one of his speeches, he defines success on how much money is being spent. And that's not what Californians, that's not how they define success. We define success on whether problems are getting solved. Are things getting better in our lives? And that's not happening.
Well, people got to vote differently. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. And Vince, good luck. Are you running in the primary first in March for Congress?
Primary first, and there's a special election 2 weeks later.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck in all that.
Thanks, John.
All right. Vince Fong, and he's a assemblyman, Republican, in the Bakersfield area. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Now, we had a chase about a half hour ago. We picked up on it, and it was in Pomona. It was Mission Boulevard. And a guy is driving over the overpass. He's being chased by CHP, the overpass over Route 71. And he suddenly swerves across two lanes and across two double yellow lines and smashes head on into another car coming in the opposite direction. But this guy in a silver pickup truck went out of his way to cross these lanes and the traffic lines and hit this other man in a red car. And then what happened? I missed it.
So the guy was just sitting in his truck. The airbag had deployed. And so then all of a sudden they bring out the dog and the dog is barking, obviously wants to get to that guy. So the camera kind of gets close to the guy. His face is all bloody and he's waving his hands, presumably saying, no, no, not the dog. And so he's trying to get out.
But he was still in the car, right?
He was still in the car, but his face was all bloody. He's behind the airbag. And so you can see that he's trying to figure out a way to get out. His hand goes outside the window and he's kind of trying to open the door. And then the dog is, again, you can see the dog is agitated. And the guy is like waving his hands again. No, no, not the dog. So then finally police, they go up to him and they pull him out and his face is all bloody and you can see the blood is on the asphalt. So the dog never had to deal with the guy.
So he didn't chomp off the hand.
No, but the dog was just barking and ready to go. And you could tell that guy was just thinking.
But he had the window up, right? And he's inside the car.
No,
still.
Then he had the window down. Uh-huh. The window was down. And he was trying to get out.
So the dog's leaping up at him?
No, the handler was holding the dog, right? But the dog was really trying to get to the guy. And the guy obviously was terrified.
Every time I see the dog, I want to see the dog charge and chomp.
We've seen that, haven't we?
I know. And it's just one of my favorite things in life is to see some bad guy or some idiot just right at the groin do a big chomp, rip him off. So his face is bloody. Even after hitting the airbag, he still bloodied up his face.
Yeah, and the paramedics were coming over to him. And then it's over.
Guys like that should get no medical attention.
Well, the paramedics didn't seem to be running.
All right, so that drama is over. That happened on Mission Boulevard in Pomona over the 71 freeway. All right, so the latest on the plane that blew out its door plug. The chief executive of Boeing is just blubbering apologies. He had a company town hall meeting because Boeing can't have too many of these, not too many more of these. Because just a few years ago, about 3 years ago, two planes fell from the sky, the MAX 8s, and crashed overseas. And hundreds of people were killed in both crashes. This is the MAX 9, which is the stretched out version. And they are still looking for the bolts of the door plug. And Dave Calhoun said, we are going to approach it with 100% transparency every step of the way while acknowledging our mistake. This stuff matters. Everything matters. Every detail matters. Except, I don't know if he was the CEO a few years ago. They issued all the apologies 3 years ago. You know, safety is our highest priority, all that crap. And then 3 years later, it happens again with a similar fleet of planes. And this is something inexcusable. This is bolts not being fastened to the door. What the hell is this? And they're looking at other planes, both in the Alaska Air Fleet and in United. These are all MAX 9s. And there's bolts that are loose in those door plugs as well. So this looks like a system failure. And this is a really simple matter. This is not complicated. Bolts fastening a door to the fuselage. That's basic stuff, right? I mean, your kid can fasten bolts to a door. So their inspection, not only did the process fail in the factory, then the inspection process failed. Because nobody checked to see if they were tight enough. Unless there was something screwy about the way the door was manufactured or the screws. I don't know. The airline said, we regret the significant disruption that's been caused by our guests by cancellations. Because there's 110 to 150 flights a day canceled on Alaska. And then also on United as well. Now, that's not all. Did you hear about the United Airlines flight from Sarasota?
Oh, yeah. That probably had you spooked out.
Yeah, right. Because we go to Sarasota a lot. Did you hear what happened yesterday?
What happened?
This flight had to make an emergency landing nearby in Tampa because there was an open door indicator light that illuminated. It was a United flight headed to Chicago, and the light came on. And this is happening just days after, you know, that door, that depressurization light was flashing in the Alaska Airlines flight three times in a week, and everybody basically ignored it. And so now the pilots are very sensitive to lights flashing, and they saw open door, open door, open door. And they immediately, because Tampa is only about 50 miles from Sarasota, so they landed very quickly, had 123 passengers and five crew members. It was an open door light, but they don't know what happened. But see, for now, no one's taking any chances.
As they shouldn't. But this should be routine. These planes, before they take off, these mechanics should be checking every single thing.
COVID caused so many people to retire early, take buyouts. Because the airlines, they took all this government money, and they were supposed to cover payroll. And instead, they thought, you know what? We could spend this money now on generous buyouts and then cut payroll over the next X number of years. Because at the time, they didn't know when business would bounce back. And business bounced back quickly as soon as the lockdown was lifted. People went back to flying, and the airlines have no staff. They don't have pilots. They don't have air traffic controllers. They don't have flight attendants. They don't have airline mechanics in great enough numbers to staff the planes. So what's going to happen? People are overworked. They're working overtime. They lose their desire, their morale. And next thing you know, there's door plugs flying off the plane. Are more coming up, John Cobalt Show.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. It's a podcast. Moist Line, we're putting out the call. 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. If you need numbers, that's 877-664-7886. And we've had vacancies. We have, you could be on the air tomorrow, almost 24 hours from now. And the whole world could hear you complaining about whatever.
And?
And what?
Well, it's, you can also access it through the TalkBack on the iHeart app.
Sure, that's written right in front of me here. Right, you could go to the TalkBack on the iHeartRadio app.
And what's under that?
If you are social media, at John Cobalt Radio.
Thank you.
Jesus. Okay. This, boy, ESPN is something else. Do you know ESPN for about 13 years has been handing out fake Emmys to some of their on-air broadcasters? And the on-air broadcasters didn't know they were fake. They decided they wanted to honor on-air talent who were ineligible to get Emmys. And I think what happens is when these were people who worked on college football shows. And when a show was awarded, like College Game Day, when a show was awarded an Emmy, what they did is they put fake names on the list of crew members. Because I guess this is supposed to go to crew members, right?
I guess. This story was wild to me when I saw it.
Yeah, this is crazy. And so they would get awards to everybody on the crew. And then ESPN would take the awards and scratch out the fake name and re-engrave it with the real name and then give the trophies over to the on-air people who didn't know they were fake Emmys.
So, like, the hosts of College Game Day are, like, Reese Davis, Desmond Howard, Kirk Herbstreit, Lee Corso. They're now, and now Pat McAfee, obviously, he hasn't won an Emmy with them yet. But it's like, I don't understand why they had to create the fake names and then couldn't use these guys' real names. Like, why aren't the hosts eligible for an Emmy? They worked on the show just as much as the crew did.
Well, they're not eligible. And what here's a specific case. Kirk Herbstreit, who you mentioned, ESPN submitted a fake name, Kirk Henry, as being part of the crew.
Right, Kirk so H.
Kirk Henry gets a statue, an Emmy. So the statues are sent to ESPN. Somebody at ESPN got someone to rub out Kirk Henry and replace it with Kirk Herbstreit. They hand the trophy to Kirk Herbstreit, and Kirk Herbstreit, oh, hey, that's great. Wow, thank you. It's wonderful. He had no idea. Same thing happened with Lee Corso, Chris Fowler, Desmond Howard, Samantha Ponder. They all got these fake Emmys that they didn't know were fake and that they had never applied for even.
That's wild.
And ESPN has been, they would all be named as associate producers. Lee Corso was listed as Lee Clark. So when ESPN won the Emmy, Lee Clark got his own individual Emmy. The ESPN executives rubbed out Clark, put in Corso, and Corso didn't know any difference. That is nuts. I mean, that is really crazy. This is Disney, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, ESPN shouldn't have been doing this, but I still want to know why these hosts aren't eligible for Emmys for working on the show. It's like actors are eligible for Emmys when they work on a TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, award guidelines are often screwy. So ESPN has to return the trophies. They're banned from the Emmys for a year for senior leadership. And then there's two individuals that are banned, ESPN executive Craig Lazarus and a former College Game Day executive, Lee Fitting. I guess they were behind this scheme. So they are now ineligible for all future Emmys. And you know how many times they did this? 37 times.
Yeah, College Game Day is their, like, number one college sports pregame show on ESPN. This is like what everybody watches at 6 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast before college football starts.
They give an example of what happened. The Athletic broke the story. Shelley Smith worked 26 years as a reporter for ESPN. And last year she got a call from another woman, Stephanie Drewley, who is an executive. Julie said, we have to talk about something serious. This has to stay between us. And she told Smith that you have to return your two Emmys that she had won more than 10 years earlier. And Smith said, I think it was really crummy what they did to me and the others. The fraud was discovered by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. They put out the Emmys. I don't know what took them so long. ESPN says some members of our team were clearly wrong in submitting certain names. That may go back to 1997.
Yeah, what was the smoking gun that finally had the Emmys? Like, we got to do something about this.
I'm trying to find out here. See, one of the network people said, why did you do this? And they said, you have to remember, those personalities are so important, and they have egos. In fact, you know, one of the on-air people had made remarks about executives line their office shelves with statuettes, except it's the on-air people who actually attract the viewers for the programs.
But so were these hosts aware that ESPN was doing this?
No, they didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't fault the host for doing this.
No, but I guess the executives were aware that the on-air people had always felt slighted, that they were never honored. Although there's got to be host categories, right?
And analyst categories. That's what I'm saying.
I don't really understand this. 37 times. None of them knew.
And now it's like guys like Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis and Chris Fowler. These guys have been a part of college sports for years, and they've been touted as award-winning hosts and all of that. It's they can't go by that anymore.
And even though they didn't, it's not their fault. They feel like fools.
Yeah, exactly.
They feel like idiots.
They're embarrassed by this.
They probably have them up on their mantle, and everybody who's come over the house.
Yeah, they're all in the backgrounds of the screen on Zoom.
That's right. Exactly. Now, everyone they know knows that those Emmys were fake.
Yeah.
That's terrible. On-air talent was until 2023 prohibited by their guidelines for being included in a credit list in that category. Game Day would get Emmys for being outstanding weekly studio show. But it would just go, the individual awards would just go to crew members and not the on-air hosts, which is, I see. There were individual awards, such as outstanding host, outstanding studio analyst, blah, blah, blah. But they were not eligible to take a trophy if the show wins because they wanted to keep anchors from double dipping, from getting two awards.
So the execs were being greedy.
Well, yeah, that was the ruling of the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. They didn't want people getting two awards for the same show, for the same job. And ESPN decided that they would revise the rule themselves.
Gotta love a loophole.
Yeah.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I did an interview yesterday. My wife, Deborah Zahra Cobalt, interviewed me. You can go to Deborah Cobalt Live, and that is a video podcast on YouTube and Facebook. And she interviewed me for an hour about the origins and history of the John and Ken Show. So go to Deborah Cobalt Live, search for it on YouTube or Facebook, and watch it. If you get the time, I think you'll like it. You'll get a capsule history going all the way back to the very beginning.
It's also going to be on the KFI page, on the John Cobalt Show page, on the KFI website as well. It's going up there as we speak.
All right. So you can get it everywhere. Alex Stone coming on right after 3 o'clock. Hunter Biden was in town today in Los Angeles to get arraigned on tax evasion charges. And we will talk with Alex about that event. Now, I started to talk about this briefly last hour, and then the car chase interrupted. And that turned into a head-on collision, so that was worth it. Safeway up in the Fillmore section of San Francisco is closing, and the neighborhood is really upset. And you may wonder, well, what do I care? I'm not in San Francisco. It's not my Safeway. But there is a pattern here. And people have to break this pattern. The supervisor for that district is a guy named Dean Preston. Dean Preston, he got a lot of publicity just a few weeks ago because he's against all the efforts to clean up the Tenderloin district, which is filled with thousands of drug addicts. And he bristles every time there's criticism in his district about all the homeless and the drug addicts. And he blames capitalism for it. He says the homelessness in his district is absolutely the result of capitalism. Well, part of capitalism is a private company that runs grocery stores like Safeway. And because of all the homelessness and the drug addicts and the mental patients and the crime, Safeway is closing its store on Webster Street. They're selling the property. Much of the inventory in Safeway is locked behind plexiglass. So if you want to go grocery shopping, you've got to find an employee to open each plexiglass panel. The self-checkout kiosks were shut down to cut down on theft. They've had community meetings about all the loitering, drug use, and homeless encampments on the property, on the parking lot. The store managers were at their wits' end. They started blasting classical music in the parking lot to discourage the loitering and the homeless encampments. But nobody thought they'd shut down the supermarket. And now, you know, locals are complaining. They got one woman named Maddie Scott saying, "We have to suffer because of a drug epidemic in our city, which we know has a lot to do with the robberies. It's not right and it's not fair." Well, you vote for a guy like Dean Preston, who thinks the company that runs your Safeway store is part of the problem. Grocery store owners are part of capitalism. He thinks capitalism creates homelessness. The store says the homelessness is breeding robberies, criminals, terrorizing people in the parking lot, and business is way down. Now he's saying, "I stand in solidarity with the community and urge Safeway to rescind the closure plan and meet with community and city leaders to develop a plan. Safeway should remain open." Well, they can't, because Dean Preston has created an environment where vagrants, drug addicts, and mental patients and criminals rule, and normal people have to hide, and now they can't buy groceries in the neighborhood. Because when they went to the store, everything was locked up. They couldn't even check out quickly because so many of the vagrants were coming in and stealing things. Well, but what do you expect Safeway to do? Just keep taking the losses? If you vote differently, if you have a different city councilman or supervisor, then they would enforce the law, get rid of the homeless encampments, put the thieves in prison, have clean streets, have safe parking lots, have well-stocked shelves that are not locked with plexiglass. Go drive around the rest of the country. You're not going to find grocery stores with all their items locked up behind plexiglass. That doesn't happen in most of the real world. But Dean Preston says, leave the drug addicts alone, the homelessness alone, and it's the capitalists that are to blame. And the people voted for him over and over again. I see the people in this news story complaining, this is terrible, this is awful. Here's a civil rights leader, Reverend Arnold Townsend. How will these seniors who don't drive get their groceries? If I have 5 or 6 kids, am I supposed to bring groceries home on the bus? That's what we're going to be faced with. They're going to have to go to other neighborhoods to buy groceries. Well, who elected Dean Preston? Who elects all these San Francisco supervisors and the idiot San Francisco mayor? These people do. Go look at their voting records. They voted for this guy. That's why he's in office. They put him there. If a guy ran saying, I'm cleaning up all the homeless encampments, I'm throwing all the criminals in jail, he wouldn't get elected in San Francisco. They'd say he's too harsh. He's mean. He's cruel. He's insensitive. He's racist and sexist and this and that. Yeah, there'd be all these. Well, okay, fine. Safeway's packing up, moving out. And now these people have no place to buy food. That's the fault of the people. It's the fault of the people for electing idiots like Dean Preston. Until regular people take responsibility for the morons they vote for, all the businesses are going to move out. San Francisco's emptying it out. Any rational businessman is looking at what's going on and saying, not here. You can open a grocery store anywhere in the nation. There's thousands of other counties and thousands of other cities. You don't have to do it in the Fillmore district of San Francisco or the Tenderloin district. We come back, Alex Stone. Crack addict Hunter Biden is in town. Woo! Must have been big news in the downtown drug districts. He was being arraigned today on tax evasion charges. We'll talk to Alex Stone from ABC News about that. Coming up on the John Cobalt Show. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.